that, for example, there's a citation to an article that was published in the News and Observer out of Raleigh, and stating that Mexicans did a lot of drinking and other very derogatory terms, and those could be found in the DOJ complaint.
And what can you tell us about what the DOJ has said to them that they have to do to come into compliance?
The Department of Justice made many recommendations in order to eliminate the bias that is occurring in Alamance County Sheriff's Office. And the one thing that they are requesting is that from now on, their department be supervised, have judicial oversight over the department. And if they don't agree to these terms, that they would file a lawsuit, and the Alamance County Sheriff's Office has until September 30th to agree to this. Otherwise, DOJ will be filing a lawsuit. The Latino population has exponentially been growing over the last 10 years here in the state. Very unfortunately, we do receive complaints of racial profiling from all over the state, but obviously, the actions of the Alamance County Sheriff's officers and by the Alamance County Sheriff himself were the most egregious that we've seen.
Raul Pinto is the racial justice attorney with the North Carolina ACLU. He spoke with WBAI's Jose Santiago. And finally, on the presidential campaign trail, New Mexico Governor Susana Martinez, who spoke on Mitt Romney's behalf at the Republican National Convention, today distanced herself from the GOP presidential nominee. Martinez told an Albuquerque newspaper that New Mexico has a lot of people that are at the poverty level, but that they count just as much as anybody else. Try as hard as they can to smooth all the feathers Romney has ruffled, his campaign is still in damage control mode, as we hear in tonight's commentary from Playfell Benjamin.
Mitt Romney, a.k.a. Mr. Chameleon, has finally exposed his true colors, albeit unwittingly. We've long suspected Mitt of being a selfish, sneering plutocrat, but now we know for sure. The secretly recorded meeting where Mitt lets his head on with his fellow plutocrats, who paid $50,000 apiece to hang with him, gives us an unfiltered peek into his gilded soul. He left little doubt that he ain't feeling the pain of the struggling masses. In heartfelt statements, perhaps the sincerest expression of his beliefs we have yet heard from the minister, he told his cronies that nearly half the American people are bums, sitting around waiting for a handout. And since these losers paid no taxes, they weren't interested in what he had to say. Hence, he was writing them off, because he didn't know how to appeal to the rabble. Thus, he was conceding the vote of these deadbeats and freeloaders to Barack, which was his natural constituency. Mitt confessed that he had nothing to offer these people with no ambition, who feel entitled to a home, food, and medical care, and believe the government should provide these things by taking from the haves and redistributing it to the have-nots through the tax system. But since he will insist that these people take responsibility for their own lives, Romney said there was no chance that any of these losers would vote for him. The problem with this analysis is that the states that have the highest numbers of people who don't pay federal income taxes are Republican-dominated red states. For instance, 40% of South Carolinians paid no federal income tax, and this is one of the reddest states in the union. Furthermore, most of the people who pay no taxes are working, and working hard, too, some with a couple of jobs. But they still don't make enough money to be taxed. The second largest group is the elderly, or people on military disability. However, Mitt is only ticked off about poor people who don't pay income taxes. He's all hunky-dory with the 7,000 people who made $1 million or more who paid no income taxes last year, or the 22,000 Americans who made between $500,000 and $1 million and also paid no income taxes. And he does not seem the least bit perturbed that 491,000 Americans who made more than $100,000 didn't pay a dime in taxes last year. We're still waiting for Mitt to release his tax returns from last year, which should raise the suspicion of thoughtful citizens. Why does a rich businessman that has been filing taxes for decades and has an army of lawyers and accountants at his command need extra time to file his taxes? What's he up to? While Mitt has no problem with those making grand theft dough, not paying a dime in taxes, he seems to lie awake at night, fulminating over the gardeners and scullery maids who may be filching a buck or two and hiding it from the tax man. Yet the shameless verbal bullies in the Grand Obstructionist Party constantly accuse President Obama of waging class warfare. But through the magic of videotape, we have Mitt in living color, dismissing nearly half the United States population as slovenly parasites, while reaffirming his belief that the rich should not be taxed to feed and heal the struggling poor, whose economic condition is proof that they're lazy and morally defective. If that ain't class warfare, eggs ain't poultry, grits ain't groceries, and Mona Lisa was a man. From New York City, this is Playfellow Benjamin with a commentary on the times.
And that's some of the news for Wednesday, September 19th, 2012. The news was produced in New York with Jose Santiago, Rebecca Miles, and Playfellow Benjamin. I'm Andrea Sears in New York for the WBAI, listener-supported news.
33 cents a day. Not much, is it? Loose change. A third of a cup of coffee. It's nothing. But did you know that 33 cents a day can help WBAI stay on the air? That's all it takes. As little as 33 cents a day. $10 a month. You can be a BAI buddy. A BAI buddy is someone who signs up to make a recurring monthly donation to WBAI using either a credit card, debit card, or by electronic fund transfer from your bank account. It's safe, secure, and easy, and it helps keep our unique, alternative, and diverse programming on the air. You'll get a WBAI membership card and other goodies. Sign up online. Go to WBAI.org and click on Donate. All the details are right there. The WBAI buddy. Be one today.
Join Food and Water Watch and many other groups to resist hydrofracking, September 20th and 22nd. On September 20th, Thursday, there'll be a shale gas outrage gathering in Philadelphia at the Penn Convention Center. Sandra Steingraber and Josh Fox will be speaking. Buses will leave from Manhattan at 34th Street and 8th Avenue, 9 in the morning. Then, on Saturday, September 22nd, there'll be a global frackdown with actions all over the world. In Uptown Manhattan at 3 in the afternoon, St. James Chapel, St. John the Divine Church, 1047 Amsterdam. Downtown at the Fab Festival, 1 in the afternoon, East 4th Street at 2nd Avenue. In Long Island at noon, Senator Skelos' office, 55 Front Street in Rockville Center. And in Brooklyn, 10 in the morning at the Grand Army Plaza Farmers Market. For more information, log on to globalfrackdown.org. That's globalfrackdown.org.
Yo, this is G-Love on WBAI, New York, New York.
called Instant Groove. Now while we start to whip up the groove, we want everybody to come on out here and do your thing. Now everybody got a thing. We want you to come on out here and do it now. Because that's what everybody is doing, their own thing. That's what I want to see you do right now. Go on and get it. Go on and do it. Do it one more time.
Corporations didn't want to pay fair wages. They didn't want to deal with unions. They didn't want to pay taxes. And so they rigged the system to essentially permit themselves to move their operations overseas, keep their money overseas, and abandon the country.
Days of Destruction, Days of Revolt with Chris Hedges, Monday, October 15th, 2012, at the New York Society for Ethical Culture, 2 West 64th Street at Central Park West, with a reception at 6 p.m., followed by a talk at 7:30. Tickets for reception include a book and the talk. The general admission is offered on a sliding scale. For more information about the Chris Hedges benefit event to support WBAI, go to WBAI.org.
I know you've heard something about the ongoing crisis in the Democratic Republic of Congo. Maybe you're curious about what's going on there. Well, here's your chance to ask questions and hear stories right here in New York City. Join us for the 4th annual Congo in Harlem film series at the Mezzo Cinema, located at 343 Lenox Avenue between 127 and 128th Street. This year's series highlights films by Congolese and international directors, ranging from political exposés, personal journeys, artistic provocation, and groundbreaking animation. See you at Congo in Harlem to celebrate Congolese culture, engage in dialogue, and get involved. For more information on program and tickets, visit congoinharlem.org or call 212-582-5060. See you at Congo in Harlem.
Hi, this is Jerry Stiller. You are listening to WBAI New York 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web. Where are my keys? Anybody see my keys? Who took my keys?
Come on and survey down the stone so big, sir. Do the what? Who knows who that song is? I'll bet you I know who does know. My friend and colleague and excellent ensign of the air, Tony Ryan. What a beautiful soul serenade that was. Thank you, Tony.
You're welcome.
Where you at?
There you go. Pull it up there.
listen, this is kind of Earthwatch, but it's also a tribute to the beauty and improvisational art of this radio station,
exactly.
WBAI.
That's right.
Tony Ryan, one of our most competent. And, you know, I kind of heard you knew something about radio this morning, Tony.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We had fun with the listeners, report to the listeners.
I really enjoyed your informed disputation of certain logistical mythologies.
Of our LSB? I'm having issues.
You know what? LSB is two letters below the BS? Good thing we used to know, LSD.
LSD. Oh, no.
But without the imagination.
I thought you were going the other way around. LSB?
LSA?
No. BS.
LSD.
Lots of BS.
No. Okay, good. I really appreciate it, Tony.
Right.
Your reluctant intervention this morning on the report to the listener, in which, to my soul, vicariously,
all right,
you introduced things that I knew from when we first moved here.
Right.
That moving a radio station is at the very least $1 million proposition, and some dumbass people on more than one political side,
to put it politely,
say silly things.
Yes.
Because they don't know radio.
They don't know radio. They don't. Sometimes they don't even know work. They don't know about a job. They don't know. These are people that I feel are a little off in their way of thinking. And I'm trying to be polite. You know how I really am. I'm being polite, and I just want to say that some of these people just don't understand what it takes to make a move like this. We really do have to move, but at the same time, what does it take to do this? Well, you know what? We have to apply for permits. We have to apply for various permits and documentation for us to make that move.
You mean like adult stuff?
Yeah, well, I'm trying to be polite, Robert. Please don't bring me in. I'm trying to be polite. But at the same time, I've witnessed some really silliness, and sometimes I'm feeling that that these people are just so 1950s, 1960s when we're trying to deal with issues of 2012.
Let's build a radio station in a garage. You know, my dad has a garage and my mother can make costumes.
Yeah, there's people were calling about a house. They didn't understand it. You know, and Andrea Katz got on the air and said, well, look, this is what we need. This is what it takes to get there. We just can't move anywhere.
She was talking about permits and the differentials between commercial and nonprofit rents and stuff.
Exactly.
People here know stuff.
That's right. Despite what they may think, we know stuff. And even if we don't know stuff, we know how to find out about stuff. We do our research.
Well, I was here in the move to this location. Mm-hmm. And there are two things that I do know, that it was, in fact, a nonprofit and rentfully advantageous situation at the time.
Right, right.
It was not a crime. It was not a fiscal crime.
Right.
But here's another thing I know. As a anchor and victim of our early efforts at WBAI's noble heritage with Occupy.
Okay.
When we first tried to do it through the internet, because of high traffic, there were dropouts. In fact, even Democracy Now! This morning.
You heard the broadband issue.
You mean the narrowband.
Yeah.
And there is a division of resources of bandwidth that happens when you are on the internet. Mm-hmm. And that is why, from Bill Wells to the present day, I know it is important for WBAI to have a 15 kilohertz line directly under our unique control to the transmitter, which intrinsically means that there is a radial limit to the feasible locations of a studio. And that means, there will be uninformed people who will say, well, why can't you just send it on the internet to the Empire State Building? Well, hell no.
No.
Because, remember, I was in the field.
Right.
And that stuff did not work because of the differential traffic.
Well,
we have responsibilities.
Exactly. We have a responsibility and just downright a job to make sure we give the best quality broadcast that we can give. Mm. And so people don't understand what it takes to do that. And part of when they talk about the move, hey, look, some of the simplest things as far as moving the T1 lines to wherever we need to be.
A T1 line is a high throughput digital communication system.
Exactly. It's the best of the best. And actually there's T3s now, but the point is that we need it requires us to go to people like Verizon and say we need to move this. Well, you know what? Let's just take it as a regular customer of Verizon and say, how many times have you been put on hold or needed something and they open a ticket for your troubleshooting problems? How long does it take to get that? Sometimes it takes a day. Sometimes it takes 3 months to fix a problem. Well, for us as a business and corporation, commercial business.
And real-time information provider.
Exactly. For us, it takes a while to place an order to move that line to another location. It takes 3 months.
I remember this.
3 to 6
from
months. To
many
do that.
Remotes of news events that I've been involved in.
Right.
That this is not a trivial issue.
That's right.
And so why don't we move to Westchester? Well, I'll tell you why. Because there is a distance limit on the fidelity of a 15 kilohertz line.
That's right.
And to so the transmitter,
It just doesn't go anywhere. You just don't come up and say, hey, look. Even my own town in New Jersey, we don't even have the proper optical lines for if we wanted to bring a radio station there. We don't have what it takes. We have to go through various other towns to come around to get to Rawhide, New Jersey in order to have a radio station. So you can imagine, you just can't go anywhere to start a radio station. You have to be specific. You have to understand. Also, when it's time to make a move, to make a construction move, we have to apply for a construction permit not only through the city, but through the FCC.
That's at least several months, if not a year.
If that. So you have to identify where you're going to be located and then apply for various permits in order to do that. It takes time. We're not even talking about
money. From FCC to local.
That's right. FCC. So you have to understand it takes time to do this. So when I see people talking out of their behinds and making these accusations and making requests to.
By that you mean speaking vertically?
Yeah. See, you're always trying to get me in trouble. You're always. But I'm just trying to explain in a proper
way. Well, no,
I've
heard some really dumb stuff from people who do not know the.
Here lies our problem.
We have such talent here that they make it look easy.
Exactly.
But people like you, the technical staff, know, and the tradition of BAI has always been its technical excellence, and I admire you.
We try. Well, thank you. But we try to do what we can from our end. But we need help from the other and from management side. We need help for the LSB. But we're getting people who don't know what they're talking about, and that's disturbing. These people are trying to be decision makers, and they don't know how to decide, and that's the problem that I'm having with these people.
Our own structure. It's sort of like the flypaper of management because it attracts people. it attracts insectoids who come here with an external interest and not any training or understanding of the technicals. Or
just
much less
plain
the
radio.
History of Pacifica.
Or radio at all. They know how to turn it on the radio. They know what they listen to. And then they come up with their own ideas on
invaders
how this is supposed to be done.
Invaders
instead of builders.
This is
We need WBAI. Innovators. That's what we need.
And Tony Ryan, I've had good times over at WLIB with Mark Riley, and
that's
I know
right.
that you're a veteran of that radio station.
Yes,
you did not name this morning.
And Mark and I used to engineer with Mark.
Yeah, good man. Good man. Really smart, good. Smart brother.
Yeah, he's definitely a cool guy.
And this is WBAI New York, 99.5 megahertz FM. And
remind people you will be here this morning.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I have the honor this morning of being the anchor of the inestimable Esther.
The inestimable Esther.
Yes.
That's pretty good.
And I just made that.
I know.
Esther Armand is on assignment.
Right.
And I have been selected for the honor on a few hours from now this morning.
That's right.
To anchor the great tradition of Wake Up Call on WBAI. Yeah.
We're
some bold
fun.
Brothers, right? Yeah.
We're going to be there. We're going to have fun. So it's all a good thing.
And but here's another thing.
Yes.
I know you got soul. If you didn't, you wouldn't be in here.
You stupid. I can't. I'm going back to do my Al Jazeera work.
No.
Do your job.
No. Listen, yes. I was en route, and there was either an accident or a...
This is on the FDR.
Yeah, on the FDR.
Right.
Usually, nothing.
Right.
But there was some anomaly. I do not know whether it was a traffic accident or a Bloomberg.
Or a Bloomberg? What's a Bloomberg?
Or a Bloomberg.
What's that? Protest?
Bloomberg is sort of like a Romney.
I can't wait to hear where you're going with this one.
No, stay tuned. Earthwatch is going to be in some deep stuff. So, but for the first time, I'm usually here on time.
Yes.
But there was some anomaly on the FDR, including what I suspected may have been an accident around the 60s, 50s, 40s, and additional.
Well, it already
distress.
Bottlenecks around that around the 60s. It gets into a bottleneck all anyway.
That's what they say about BAI, but they're wrong.
Oh, whatever. Go ahead and finish your story.
But here I am, and you, tonight, fulfilled one of the great noble traditions of BAI.
Which is?
When there was a time programs did not come on necessarily at the top of the hour.
Right.
When there was a fluidity of schedule.
Right.
And one of the great arts of, with your excellence as an engineer, there was a time we were required to have FCC licenses.
Right.
In order to operate
right.
the console.
I still have mine.
God, I used to. I'm not current. But in order to operate a broadcast station, there was an FCC licensing process. And I'm so proud of you for having that. And there was a time people like you were not called engineers, but broadcasters. Broadcast engineers.
Right.
And we have not. And here's the beautiful thing. You and I, we've not always been necessarily at a certain time and storm and tempest on the same page.
Yeah.
But here's what's beautiful about BAI, and I want everybody listening to understand this. This is a crucible that takes precious chemicals and bonds them together. That is the beauty of BAI.
Exactly. And with that said, we, like you said, we had our ups and downs, but we're together. And the common denominator is WBAI.
Yes, indeed. Now, I know you're pretending to want to go to do some work.
But I got to do Al Jazeera. People don't realize how hard that is to do, how hard it is to edit.
For moral and technical reasons, I would imagine. But that's just me.
Goodbye, Robert.
No. No, wait.
What?
I want to thank you. I initiated this path of discussion on the concept of miscellany. And you have, in the classical sense, fulfilled that form. And given the transportational interruptions of myself tonight,
right.
you did a thing that very few people have heard of in a long time at BAI, called a miscellany. And you brought on, very much to me, simpatico soul cavalcade. And I want you to, because you were humble, you didn't say, well, the moment was late. You didn't say that. You just maintained the acoustic continuity of the station.
That's what
and before you answer my questions about the soul music,
yes.
Please allow me to assert one other thing.
Sure.
There are detractors. There are incompletely studious listeners to radio or as they would have it, the internet. And they think that the internet is a substitute for the precious privilege. And here I speak to you as an engineer, Tony. Tony Ryan. That it's a trivial thing to have an FCC mandated 50 kilowatt, 99.5 kilohertz, megahertz license.
The hardest thing to get.
And here's the thing. Dumbasses will say,
well, I heard something. I might could have found it on the internet.
But dig it. I believe the radical promise of BAI is the very fact that unlike when the government can turn off the internet, just like that, an FCC broadcast license is different. And let's go back to Occupy. Mm-hmm. Let's go back to what happened in Tunisia, what happened in, you know, throughout the Northern Africa crown, the Mideast, when governments and at will could turn off the internet.
Syria.
And there are people who say, well, BAI should move to East Hampton, where I had a very fine weekend, and send our signal by the internet to the Empire State Building, the tallest building and necessary signal for us to be competitive.
Two different issues, I mean.
So there are people who say, well, now we have the internet, but, and I offer this to you, in my opinion, the Pacifica Mission says that we are obligated to combine sources of information not usually united.
Right.
And there is so much audio-visual material available from eyewitnesses, from the internet, from the webs, and from other sources. Mm-hmm. And I think that we are on the verge of a new century, if not already in progress,
right. That
it is our art to maintain not only an up-to-date technical craft that can accommodate these new sources of information that were anticipated by the Pacifica Mission without dumbasses saying, well, I could have found this on the internet. But I say to them, not until you heard it on BAI.
Exactly. You didn't even know.
Retroactive calumny is not an original investigation. but seriously, do you think about the new technical times we're in?
Of course, every day. I mean, this is what I grew up technical.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up technical. So this is my field. I'm also a student of radio. And mm-hmm. So I believe, and even though I am a technical person, I am part of the internet processes or data or analysis or whatever you want to call it. Even though I'm part of that, I'm radio, man. I'm radio. And to me, this whole idea of just switching over to the internet to broadcast our signal.
It's a joke.
It's not so much. I understand they're
no, it's useful for input, but not control.
Exactly. It's just part of many tools that we have to offer through our broadcast as a business, mm-hmm. as Pacifica and as WBAI.
Yeah.
It's just part of this, one of many tools that we have to offer, or resources that we have to offer to the listeners, just in case something happens. Yeah. But it's always about terrestrial radio. It's always about terrestrial
radio. This is trans-terrestrial radio.
That's
on
right.
WBI Earthwatch.
There you go.
Tony, thank you for so much you've given us today.
Right.
From the beginning of the morning to this very moment.
It's been a long shift.
What was some of that soul shifts you gave us tonight?
Oh, I gave you some good 60s music. Of course, we ended with the 81.
Candy and the Kisses. Yeah.
The Candy and the Kisses. What else did I play? Oh, I played Little Eva.
Mm-hmm.
With Cocomotion. You remember that?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. Due to Locomotion, that's what it was.
I was just learning my, let us say, potential.
Thank you for sharing that. But it was all fun. But we had a good time.
That's part of soul. Yeah.
That's part of soul. We had a good time. And when you called and said, look, you know,
mm-hmm.
I'm almost there. We got problems. we got problems with the FDR. I'm like,
Lankety Brothers said, I'll be there in a minute.
You said, hey, man, just do your soul thing. And I'm like, okay, hey, yeah. You know what? I was really looking for Stevie Wonder because I know you love Stevie Wonder.
And
I said, hey, I went into my folder and said, hey, let me stick with this stuff, the 60s music. Yeah. And then just play that and just let you come in and do your thing.
Well, all I can say is, well done, Tony Ryan.
All right, now.
Engineer and artist extraordinaire. When are your shows? People need to hear more of that.
Saturday
when can they hear
nights,
you?
Saturday nights, 11 p.m.
Oh, my God.
So it's, you know, Imhotep, Gary Bird, then Jeannie Hopper with the Sound Lounge and Liquid Sound Lounge, then Sister from Another Planet, and then
my God.
Myself.
Do you have
great
to put,
lineup.
Do you and have to put up to barricades to keep fans away?
I do admit, though, the phones are off the hook when they
I like your little puzzles.
Excellent. Thank you, sir.
Tony Ryan. All right. This is Earthwatch on WBAI. I'm Robert Knight.
Love you, brother.
Thank you. You too, man.
The bell for freedom still rings. The bell for freedom still rings. Sorrow to me, but does it ring to know the bell of freedom still rings? The hammer for justice still pounds. The hammer for justice still pounds. The beating sound of a hammer for justice that comes. When will the world stop and listen? When will we all stop and see? Cause he looks upon us with a frown, to know that millions of babies still starve. Millions of babies still starve. We can't have the biggest heart if millions of babies still starve. And the innocent ones still die. Innocent ones still die. We can't value life too high if the innocent ones still die. When will the world stop and listen? When will we stop and see? When will we find what we've been missing? That the man in the moon must have found. Cause he looks upon us with a frown. Light of truth we won't let shine. Light of truth we won't let shine. Tell me, has the world gone blind? Light of truth we won't let shine. As long as there's life, there's still a day. As long as there's life, there's still a day. And I know that we can find our way. For as long as there's life, there's still a day.
Greetings and Welcome to Earthwatch. Thank you, Tony Ryan. My name is Robert Knight. You're tuned to WBAI in New York, 99.5 FM, on the broadcast FM band. You know, people who say that our integration of new technology is wrong are themselves caught in a century of their past fading glory and actually, antagonistic intents towards this radio station. So this is Earthwatch. My name is Robert Knight, and I am perplexed and flabbergasted by the salience of the Romney candidacy, of the blatant, and racist statements of that campaign recently, of characterizing 47% of the American population as being America-hating freeloaders, self-entitled non-taxpayers, and a burden upon the state. These are things that we, on Tuesday, as the story was breaking, revealed raw audio of the Boca Raton fundraiser of Mitt Romney. And it was breathtaking that the things he said in I think it was the 17th of May of this year, that there were not wealthy people of conscience who did not reveal it before. It was brought forward by investigators. And once again, people who criticize the station, and me in particular, there's a bleeping nut out there who has made me his obsession after he tried to destroy the station. Who, you know, just goes on and on and on and on and on and on, and is really kind of uninformed about the current state of radio, and never had to raise the level of budget we do here now today. But apparently there are some Viking who hates this brother. And because of your support, ratings-wise, fundraising-wise, and otherwise, I go through that like the prow of a ship, like the bow of an icebreaker. Despite proximate people who kind of encourage that. Because this is WBAI. And for more than half a century, the truth of people of principle has prevailed against the preponderant powers. So, divinity bless you. And thank you for all of your support over the years, and that which, upon which we will depend for the future. But, this is a fulcrum, a crucible of courage, a crucible of commitment. And I'm so proud that you have permitted me and all of my colleagues, agreeable or not, to be a representation of who we all are together. Now, one of the things that I meant to not meant to, will actually do, is share some of the most recent events of the week. And what involved my initial plan was the following. As you know, on 5 o'clock shadow, in just a short time after the first official public release from Mother Jones of the Romney complete audio video, in what is one of the things that I love about BAI, its ability to immediately respond to things, which was, of course, criticized by some old guy or people who do not understand the new media, that we altered our original plan and got on top of a breaking story. And all they said was,
well, we were derivative because, well, somebody else reported it an hour before you came on the air.
You know, give me a break. I say this to say that there are ancient, invidious failures who seek to reclaim the territory of their demeanment. But you all have understood the continuity and evolution of this radio station. And just as I trust and believe we will not revert to tribalism, neither will we revert to a period of ethnic supremacist non-inclusionism. So that's all I have to say about that. But speaking of ethnic and economic supremacy, let us now turn to the other event of this week. Mitt WTF Romney. You know, the people who attack us are supporters of the ethos of the ethnic supremacy of the Romneys of this world. And to set the context, we were among the very first, before even Mother Jones was able to type up a transcript of the full recording of the Boca Raton May 17th fundraising of Mitt Romney. And, you know, so it was breaking. We put it on the air. And, you know, we now have this, just in, from the Onion News Service. This from Salt Lake City. And I quote the report verbatim. Seeking to limit the fallout from a videotaped speech in which he asserts that... Well, no, wait, wait. Before we go there, I must make a personal announcement. Those of you who have communicated and received replies from me know that I have a signature that I created a year ago in my emails called We Are the 99.5. I thought that was a better slogan at the time for BAI than We're moving forward, we hope you're going with us. Okay. My motto was We Are the 99.5. In any case, I have now, I regret to inform you, I have now changed the logo of my email signature. Given the events of the past few days, Mitt Romney and all, I have now changed my logo to reflect his brilliant assertions of America being controlled by self-entitled, tax-evading, government-supported, quote, freeloaders, quote, that represent 47% of the electorate. So I have now changed my
email signature. From We Are the 99.5, I've changed it to We Are the, quote, 47%. We Are the, quote, 47%. In honor of Mitt Romney. Now this from The Onion. Seeking to limit the fallout from a videotaped speech in which he asserts 47% of Americans pay no taxes and do not take, quote, personal responsibility and care for their lives, quote, Mitt Romney hastily called a press conference today to apologize personally to the, quote, 150 million starving, filthy beggars that he might have offended, end quote. Saying that he deeply regretted the choice of words at a private $50,000 a plate fundraising function in May, during which he argued, quote, my job is not to worry, quote, about the lower earning half of the nation's populace. Romney personally appeared to the country's, quote, dirt-caked garbage pickers and toothless street urchins, quote, for forgiveness. Quoting, first and foremost, I would like to offer a heartfelt apology to all the whores, junkies, bums, and grime-covered derelicts out there who make up nearly half our nation, end quote, a visibly contrite and solemn Romney said outside a campaign stop at a local high school, quoting, let me assure you that in no way did I mean to offend any of the putrid-smelling barefoot masses out there. My campaign is not about dividing this nation, but about bringing all sides together, the rich, the elegant members of the upper class, as well as the 47%, who are covered in flies and eat directly from back-alley dumpsters, end quote. I am fully committed, he said, to building a better future for every American, and that means ensuring that all 150 million grease and urine-soaked members of our society get a fair share. End quote. The Romney campaign reportedly scrambled into damage control mode after the video leaked Monday, and Tuesday, the full video, issuing a statement that last night, late, that the intended target of Romney's remarks was ingrained big government largesse. Not the hordes of uneducated, loathsome scum who unfortunately populate this country. However, with Romney's comments continuing to dominate the news cycle today, the campaign opted to convene a press event to allow Romney to speak directly to the nation's, quote, grimy panhandlers and coke-addled whores, quote, so that he could issue an apology and explain his familiarity with their struggles, quoting, I know just how hard it must be to get through a miserable, destitute life that is rife with crying babies whose shrieks consistently disrupt the affluent members of society who actually contribute something to this world, end quote, said the GOP candidate, adding that he wanted to make amends for his recent statements and reach out to what he called the country's snaggletooth street people and hell-spawned savages. Quoting, I know it can be challenging to wake each morning covered in your own feces and refuse and get back out there on the streets to beg for spare change and food scraps. Always one step from dying right there in an alley. I know your challenges, and I'm ready to fight for you, added Romney. Romney also said that he recognized that the hardships of the nation's low earners are made more difficult by the fact that so, quote, very, very many of them are drug-addicted high school dropout single mothers and fathers who sleep in gutters while sewer rats nibble at their necrotic flesh, end quote. In an effort to right his campaign and rebuild his image, Romney
promised to bring his message of compassion and economic opportunity to the, quote, ramshackle, mud-floored huts in which half of all U.S. residents live. Romney said, "Let me make this absolutely clear. I have the utmost respect for all of the filth encrusted, lesion-covered degenerates of this nation. In the coming weeks, I look forward to meeting real Americans in their squalid, roach-infested hellholes in every corner of this country. I promise to stand up for every one of you, even the 47% of you huddled together for warmth, fighting your own family members for moldy crust of bread as you wallow in your own excrement," added Romney. "And I do look forward to serving you as your next president of the United States of America." This is Earth Watch on WBAI. I'm Robert Knight.
I'm sick and tired of hearing things from uptight, short-sighted, narrow-minded hypocrites. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth. I've had enough of reading things by neurotic, psychotic, pig-headed politicians. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth.
You know, I met John Lennon on the occasion of my first program on WBAI a long time ago. And it was because he liked the program I did with somebody about rhythm entrainment and sent an envoy to summon me. I love that man. This is Earthwatch. I'm Robert Knight. You're tuned to WBAI. Not the internet, radio that uses many sources for audio, because unlike the internet, radio broadcast, terrestrial broadcast, is portable. And You know, with all the Occupy stuff, all the government had to do was turn off the web. But they can't turn off a radio station just like that. And some people who have no life but to attack us don't understand that. But that's neither here nor hell, because this is Earthwatch. Phone number here is 212-209-2900. And you are on the air.
Robert Knight, you are on fire tonight. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you. Which part of me is flaming?
Well, the question I really have for you, Robert, is when do you sleep?
What month is this?
Exactly. I mean, you've got 5 o'clock shadow. You're on now. You're coming up on wake up call,
which is a great honor. Yeah,
I like Esther very much, but it'll be terrific to hear you on my commute in tomorrow. But you're going to catch like 4 hours sleep later on when the sun is up.
Yeah, I know. That really burns me, or actually it's the opposite of burning me because I miss my suntan. But, dig this. Here's a scoop for you. That's not all of it. I'm going to be up until the sunset, because you know why? We have as our special live in-studio guest this day, Thursday, starting at 5 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, the great Greg Palast, talking about election theft. And I want, you see, sometimes I am an egoist, but I'm also a radio producer, and sometimes pre-recorded things are able to tell more information than a live thing. You know, up, down, yes, no, one day, other, even, odd. And, you know, there are people who say, when I produce a documentary, that's cheating?
That's cheating?
Yeah. No, there's... I'll tell you what, there's some nut who used to be around here who's made a mission of slandering me.
You were mentioning that earlier, and I'm sorry you're having that stress. And also these people who are... It seems like they're uninformed about the state of radio, and they want to switch to the internet, and it just... I hear you banging your head.
Yeah. But you know what? I spent time this weekend with two of the coconuts. So I banged my head against some coconuts, baby. You know, from Kid Creole, August Darnell, and John Hammond, and people like that. So I'm not concerned about No Fools Today, but I want you who protect the station to know that it is so precious that roaches are encroaching. That's all. You there?
Yes, I am. You know, I think it's wonderful that you met John Lennon. This is a man who truly became a New Yorker when he arrived here.
Yeah. As opposed to a former government employee.
The other thing I wanted to raise was I wouldn't worry too much about Twit Romney. I know it is your job.
That's funny. Twit Romney.
Yeah, you could put an SH on there too, but it's not appropriate for the air, I don't think.
Oh, you're so evil.
Say, he is definitely not going to pull it out this election. I want to say I know it's your job to be concerned about him, but I just want to say that it's very analogous to the election when Bush was running for re-election. What we've really got here is an anti-Obama vote, not a pro-Mitt Romney vote, and it's just not strong enough, I feel, to carry the election in the end. Plus, he's making all of these gaffes. Now, it's a long way to November. Maybe not calendar-wise, but you know how campaigns go, and there's going to be debates. But still, I just don't think he's going to pull it out. I think he's going to continue gaffing. And it's going to be an anti-Obama vote, not a... I mean, if Condoleezza Rice was running, if Colin Powell was running...
Or a black person.
Or a black person. then I think they would have something to vote for, not just to vote against. So I think you've got some strength here in confidence that Mitt Romney's just not going to pull it out.
I think you're absolutely correct. I thank you and salute you for your wisdom tonight.
Listen, you played I think it was a Stevie Wonder song. It was really quite moving.
It is an unpublished song. It is my theme.
It did sound like a live recording.
Yes.
Am I right on that?
I'll tell you where it came from. This is Stevie Wonder singing The Bell for Freedom, which is not necessarily the official title, but it was performed one time only, as far as I know, on the occasion of his 40th birthday, when Steveland Morris, Stevie Wonder, was a special invited guest to the United Nations General Assembly.
Oh.
And the technical recording flaws are beautiful because, you know, like the UN General Assembly, it ain't no disco. There ain't no fooling around. It's beautiful. I fell in love. A brother first told me of it shortly after the act, and I accommodated myself to it like magnetism, and it is my theme.
He did a very creative key change in the middle of that. I don't know.
I know!
Yeah, it was just... And the thing is, he switched his melody. It was flawless. He just, on the cuff, switched keys. And, of course, you know, that is his magic. The thing I was thinking when I was listening...
I think he did it twice. Long as there's light, there's a day. And he said... when he was in the oppression section in the middle. I know exactly what you mean. I'm trying to remember when he went minor and then when he returned major. I have people who teach me about that, you know.
Well, you know, I was listening to it and thinking about how Zeitgeist is the answer. I'm involved with the Zeitgeist movement. I know you guys used it as a fundraiser once upon a time. Are you familiar with the Zeitgeist movie?
No, only the pornographic part from the 60s. Zeitgeist.
Okay.
Phoebe Zeitgeist.
No, I'm referring to Zeitgeist Addendum, Zeitgeist Moving Forward. I guess you're not familiar.
I kind of keep a diffident perspective on that. But let's talk about that next time. A lot of people calling.
Thank you, Robert. Bye-bye now.
Thank you for being so bright. This is Earthwatch. Phone number 212-209-2900. And you are on the air.
Hi, Robert.
Hello, woman.
Hi. Every now and then I have to call you to commend you, and tonight is one of those occasions.
Oh, thank God. Go ahead.
And that's commending you for your courageous defense of broadcast radio.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
In a digital environment.
Please elaborate.
I'm
please elaborate.
From the Hudson Valley.
As a listener, please elaborate. You have the floor.
I'm calling from the Hudson Valley, Woodstock to be specific. And up here in the mid to upper Hudson Valley, you can't get the AI. And there's one section of the Hudson Valley between Poughkeepsie and about Catskill where you can't get any non-commercial community radio at all. It doesn't exist because there are four Christian outlets here that take up all the non-commercial frequencies and then get a bunch of what are called repeaters to repeat these Christian signals. Nobody listens to them at all. They don't even show up in the Arbitrons for the Hudson Valley. But they're there basically to be placeholders so that as the non-commercial difference between that and commercial broadcasting becomes more vague, as stations are able to air more blatant advertising to get money, even if they're non-commercial, these placeholding Christian radio stations become more valuable. And the FCC, which you mentioned before, has been staffed since Reagan and the two Bushes with a lot of Christian apparatchiks in the divisions that determine who and what get on the air. And as time goes by, the Christians are organized to apply for every broadcast frequency that the FCC makes available. And as such, with the help of these apparatchiks that in Washington that are flagrantly violating the FCC's rules that were put into place by advocates like Gloria Tristani and other people that have been commissioners in the FCC and congressional legislation, where even conservatives and liberals agree that non-commercial radio should be, when the licenses get opened up, the predominance just by the sheer numbers end up being these Christian placeholder nothing radio stations.
In other words, there is another more nefarious holy Occupy movement occupying broadcast radio.
That's right. And these people who are talking against BAI being what it is.
Let's sell the license.
Oh, what it always has
been. There was a time when Mary Effin Berry.
Yeah, I know.
Wanted to trade the license for a couple of insignificant broadcast signals in Mississippi. And now there are fools out in California and elsewhere saying, well, let's trade down the goddamn unique center of band commercial frequency of BAI. I consider that to be fiscally and fiduciary and irresponsible. Even as a discussion, okay?
So, of course, something that is that much of a jewel is going to be expensive to maintain. And there have to be programming decisions, unfortunately, made, but they don't have to be sinister. They can be positive that are meant to attract the listeners and the dollars. And, you know, I know that BAI and Pacifica don't take grants. But they certainly don't have a problem with taking big donations.
Well, no, we actually do take grants as any public radio station.
Right. So,
we do enjoy equipment grants from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. But at the same time, you're right also we're the inverse of NPR. NPR is 80 or 90% corporate and 10 or 20% grant. And we are 80 to 90% listener.
Right.
And only 10 to 20% grant.
The point I wanted to make was in this documentary that Channel 13 has been showing about its early days. In its early days, it had a lot of financial problems, and it even went on the off the air and left the test pattern up because they couldn't perform, they couldn't afford to produce complicated TV programs. So they were kind of in the same situation, but they persevered and they got a little bit of money. They got enough funds to stay on the air. And they were, and here's the key, they were the most creative with their programming. They reached out for the farthest. They were the most radical that they could be on television. And people, they described, well, then came the Ford Foundation.
And then came the damping money. DAMP,
right.
You know, like in physics, damping to retard the progress of a thing.
So, but my point is that it is possible in this environment, if a BAI or any station likes it, you know, all these people are talking about how BAI or non-commercial radio should just sell out to the internet. And of course,
no, that's nonsense. Because
it's ridiculous.
As I said earlier, I'm a veteran anchor, been on many remotes, and we tried at Occupy, and whenever there's competing traffic, a radio station cannot afford to have that. That's why we need a phone line to the transmitter, which means a limited distance. Hello,
right.
This morning's report to the listener was excellent. That was the one point left out.
Because the people here in the Hudson Valley who don't have this, they think it's a wonderful idea to be able to have a radio station that will be there when the power goes out, when the internet goes down, and we up here much
Thank
more
you.
Prone
yes,
to
yes.
blackouts than you are, and we can't even get emergency information on a radio up here, and Christians aren't going to give it to us.
It connects Woodstock to Long Island. In the conception of Tesla, Nikola Tesla.
There you go.
I love you. Thank you for calling.
Love you too. Keep it up.
All right. It's up. This is Earthwatch, and you're on the air. Hello.
Yes, Robert?
Hello, sir.
Hi, it's Bill Wells.
Bill Wells, you know, I have had so many psychic connections today. I spoke with my friend, a former engineer and news producer here, Danny Lyric, earlier today. And now you. Bill Wells, I have been meaning for months to call you for you to assent or disputate my assertion about proximity to transmitter.
Yes. Well, let me turn my radio down first. Is okay.
that's so fun. Listen, while he's doing that, let me tell you, Bill Wells is one of the legendary, ancient, and consistent heroes of WBAI, who operates on an entirely higher echelon than the, how does the desiderata go? The noise and bustle of everyday politics. This is someone who keeps us on the beam.
Well, thank you for your accolades. I appreciate that.
Yeah, so Bill, I'm so honored to hear from you. What's on your mind?
Well, I heard my name mentioned briefly earlier in the program. You mentioned the internet. I do think, as a backup only, it would be a good thing to have for the transmitter.
As a plan B, as it were, huh?
Yes. But I also think we should have a Verizon-free microwave studio transmitter link. I've been trying to do that. When I had a under Robert Scott Adams, I was trying to get the station HD radio compliant, and or not compliant, but redo the transmitter plant to have that in place, and there wasn't the money available for it. But I think that's important too. Regarding the studio move, I think even I have a lot more research to do before I can expound on that.
Well, you have been a stalwart in, as far as I can remember, almost all of our technical advancements. And there's no, you know, whatever accolade you thought you heard was only a portion of my respect for you. And I think that what has happened, I, as an electrical engineering major, and you, as someone with even greater skills as a broadcast engineer and the qualifications you must meet in order to be the chief engineer of a radio station. Can you help what I hope to express about the difference and importance of broadcast to people hearing something on broadcast and then saying, oh, well, I could have found it on the internet after I heard it on the broadcast?
Well, I definitely think that actual broadcast radio is preferable to internet radio, and that we should continue to be at 99.5. I agree with you totally on that. There may be other places we could broadcast from than the Empire State Building. There's four Times Square where WKCR broadcasts from that may be viable, but we definitely need a new transmitter.
You know, I kind of got a taste of that coming back from the Hamptons a little while ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I was cued, and Bill, this is a part of your data research. It was at a range of between 57 and 65 miles out on the Jitney.
Okay.
That I was able, on a mediocre receiver, to get BAI. And I think part of our income function is an inverse square, you know, because of the radius of broadcast, right?
Sure.
And I think that there are people who may be well-meaning with political agendas that are insufficiently technically responsible, you know, with big ideas that people like you
might know a little bit more about.
Well, you know, I heard the report to the listener the other night, and or at least part of it, and unfortunately, there are a lot of people who really, you know, they have good intentions, but they haven't done their research properly into what's needed for the station to move the studio facilities and
it's at least a megabuck proposition, right?
Oh, yeah.
I remember when we came here from 505. From
I remember when we came from to 505 from the church.
352 East.
Yes, 359 East 59th Street.
359 East 62nd, pardon
Second
me.
Street.
Yes, you're right.
Right.
Yeah. Bill Wells, how are you doing? What should we know about your current work?
I now operate a recording studio in Brooklyn. I'm a recording engineer.
Mm-hmm.
And I do broadcast consulting from time to time. And I would definitely like to get back into advising WBAI as to a studio move.
I will advocate that because I know the excellence and craft of your work. And as a matter of fact, after tonight's program, would you drop me a ping at my email here at the station, rknight, R-K-N-I-G-H-T, at WBAI.org, because I've always admired your work.
Certainly, I will do that.
Well, that pretty much does it. We're almost out of time.
Okay, Robert, nice talking with you, and we'll talk again.
It's an honor to speak with a man of actual knowledge. Thank you, Bill.
Thank you.
This Earthwatch. This is Earthwatch on WBAI in New York. And coming up in barely 120 seconds from now will be Jim Freund with Hour of the Wolf. There are so many of you calling, I cannot get to you in a polite time limit such as this. But please drop me an email at rknight, R-K-N-I-G-H-T at WBAI.org, and I'm sure we'll continue this conversation next week or at our next opportunity. Or call the switchboard at 212-209-2800 tomorrow between my marathon morning and miraculous evening with Greg Palast on 5 o'clock shadow. And me doing Esther this morning at 6 a.m. on Wake Up Call. I love you. And part of life is the stress of differences. And there are some old guys who are dead in the soul who attack us at every moment, who almost destroyed the station. And then there are you who preserve and expand the station. And I guess you can pretty much guess whose side I'm on. This is Earthwatch. Thank you for listening. I'm Robert Knight. Drop me an email, rknight at wbai.org. Coming up, Jim Freund, Hour of the Wolf. I'm out of here. See you in the morning at 6 a.m.
Please listen. I've got one or two things to say.
How do we feel?
About Congressman. John Lewis. Addressing the assembly. You don't need to follow anybody. You've got to think for yourself. You're all individual.
And you are tuned to listener-sponsored non-commercial Pacifica Radio, New York City. WBAI at 99.5 FM. And Earthwatch with Robert Knight was brought to you live with portions on recording. Well, please bear with me as we go through technical difficulties, trying to set up. Somebody has moved the folder with the magic music that we opened the show with. Ah, here we go. Let's wolf. This is Hour of the Wolf, a Wednesday night, Thursday morning program dedicated to science fiction, fantasy, enchantment, and the imagination. My name is Jim Freund. Coming up this morning, an interview with Mary Robinette Kowal. Stay tuned. Okay, why are we howling again? I don't get this thing sometimes. At any rate, good morning. This is Hour of the Wolf. As previously mentioned, my name is Jim Freund. Okay, now, it's all the way over there. Pardon me while I get my stuff set up. I didn't have a chance earlier. So I can properly... introduce this morning's show. Now, if you're a regular reader of science fiction and fantasy, you probably don't need any kind of an introduction for Mary Robinette Kowal. But
Otherwise, you might. Well, let's just start with, she's wonderful. She does all this stuff. She has all these things going on at once. An amazing talent. A nice person. And, but I don't want to just go by that. So I figured I'd call up the Wikipedia entry so I could bring up some of the highlights. Okay. Professional puppeteer, right? Okay, we're not talking like, you know, sock puppets here. She creates puppets and has worked with the Jim Henson Workshop, which I didn't realize, but I'm seeing that here. She has and done a lot of shows. And if you're lucky enough to catch one of her readings, she's doing one at the KGB Fantastic Fiction Series, in fact, in December, unless I'm mistaken. She occasionally treats people to her puppetry there. She knows the history of puppetry, the different styles and all that, shadow puppetry, all kinds of things. As a writer, let's see. Well, in 2009 on this program, she read a short story called Evil Robot Monkey. It was then nominated and won the Hugo Award for that year. Also nominated for Want of a Nail, which won the award. Oh, gee. Like the day after. No, that was last year. She was nominated for a short story this year, and that was the night before the interview that you're going to hear, but in this particular case did not win. But it is not just a thing to say it's an honor to be nominated, because My, it really is. The Nebula Award, as I like to point out so often, and we've done a number of broadcasts, a number of the interviews that I did this year at the Nebulas, our peer award, the Hugo Award, somebody, I think it was Sydney Smith, somebody gave me a very good metaphor for what the Hugos are. They're not the People's Choice Award, because they're not that far down. But they are a popularity award from the people who really read the stuff and care about the stuff. But it is from the fandom. The Nebula Award is from the Science Fiction Writers of America. And that brings us to another point in the career of Mary Robinette Kowal. She was the vice president and for 2 years before that, the secretary of SFWA. And you will hear us discuss SFWA to a certain extent. She has two novels out, with a third coming out, I think, late this year. It is, in essence, a trilogy. And imagine Regency fiction, that is to say, books, stories set in the Regency, stuff like Jane Austen and all that, with magic involved, okay? Imagine that. And then imagine that there is, in the old sense of the word, glamour involved. So we're in the same territory, but not the same place, as the writings of Susanna Clarke with Jonathan Strange and Mr. Norrell, and to a lesser extent, both a, you know, similar era to Naomi Novik with her Temeraire novels, which are so wonderful. But this is Jane Austen territory. So be aware of that. Now, if I sound like I'm totally thinking of something else, I am, very briefly. I need to call up on my little tablet here some information about the next NIRSIF reading, because it's actually a week from tomorrow. We're having a very special reading this month. Roz Kaveny, who is a critic and writes wonderful analytical books about science fiction and film and television, probably the definitive book on Buffy, nonfiction book on Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And Deborah Grabian, who has been on this show, she was on several years ago. Roz is coming all the way from London. Deborah hails from San Francisco. She writes basically murder mysteries based on the child ballads. You know all those Steel Eye Span songs that I play? That's them. Okay, so stories like Thomas the Rhymer and all that. There's enough blood and gore in all of those child ballads to suit any novelist, but she is the one who does it best and does it well. And we'll have the evening hosted by Veronica Shanis, Professor Veronica Shanis here of CUNY, who is par excellence. Now, we normally hold this thing at the Soho Gallery for Digital Art. Oh, by the way, and one or both of these people will be my guest on the show next week. But we're not going to be doing that next week because of a double booking, or a late booking, actually, on the other side. And so we are going to be going to an absolutely new space called 440 Studios, which is, and within those studios is a space called the White Box, which is, well, actually, I think it's more of a rehearsal space than a performance space. And